Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Proud to bring you a little bit of truth, a little bit of information, and a little bit of comedy amidst dark times. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest today is Paul Tepeta from Poker Face. If you had to find a man who was more against Zionism, you'd be hard-pressed to try. Paul, welcome to the show.
Brother, if you've known him as long as I have, man, for like the last 43 years, you'd be the same way as I am, man.
Oh, straight up. Hey, can I ask you, actually, what indeed got you into really going after the New World Order and in the way that you do? Actually, for the listeners, kind of introduce yourself, those who don't know who you are.
Sure. My name is Paul Tepeta. I'm an American. I live in the state of Pennsylvania, about an hour north of Philly. I guess from the age of two, my first words out of my mouth were Rockefeller, Rothschild, and bankers are bad, because my mom, in the late 60s, was reading all the good conspiracy books in the front seat while we waited for my dad to come home on the train from work. And she'd be like going off like we do today, like, damn those bankers. And I'd be like in the back, bankers bad, bankers bad. And then my mom would turn around, like her eyes would be all big wide and open. She'd be like, shh, can't talk about this to anybody, Paul. They'll think you're crazy. So that was my introduction to, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. And then traveling the world, both my parents were teachers. My dad was a professor, retired. My mom was a school teacher, first and second grade for 30 years. For 3 months out of the year, we would go travel the world on teacher's income, which wasn't much, so we camped a lot, and we got to camp with, the average Joe, man, not in high-rise hotel rooms and little square cement boxes that keeps you away from everybody, but at campgrounds where you could walk right next to the next campsite, and there'd be fires and people, and you get to talk to them, you get to see how the other half lived. No, I went to Morocco. They don't have rest areas there. They just basically have a hole in the floor, and that's how you go to the bathroom. So many stories of where I've seen myself be so blessed coming from a country like America and appreciating it, and my heart going out to those that are so much less fortunate. Not in a sense like they're not rich, because the rich are in things that are much more important in life than money and materialistic things, but not having enough to eat. One example, in Morocco, I'm 5 years old, and we stopped off along the side of the road underneath a patch of palm trees, and we decided to eat lunch. we ate our lunch. Mom had watermelon. We cut the watermelon up. We spit out the seeds and left the rinds behind because they're biodegradable. And as we're leaving, 12 little black kids came out of who knows where and started eating the rinds and the seeds that we had left over. I mean, had we known that they were there, we probably would have just given them the watermelon. But when you're 5 years old, visions like that kind of affect you. And stay with you. So it's like that was my upbringing, having two educated parents who are readers, always getting the politically incorrect films. And I was growing up in that environment, so I knew I was very well ahead of most of my peers to see the duplicity that greedy people have, but then starting to find out that it was always one tribe of people that were better at it than others. And and nothing has changed my opinion in the last, 43 years that I've been aware of them. And it just sucks that God made enough for everybody. He made enough of the economic pie. But unfortunately, most of us live like slaves. We're the tax of death, or we're just brought up in an environment that is very poor. And I've just made it my mission with my bandmates to, try to speak for those that have no voice, to try to support those that are the underdogs. And as long as I'm alive and every breath that I have, I'm going to fight for what is right, for my family, for my children, for my future grandchildren. So there you have it.
So you see, ladies and gentlemen, Paul's a great choice for Living the Eastwood Show, because it's funny, as you were saying that, how you were raised. That's exactly how I want to raise my kids. The shh, don't talk about it. People will think you're crazy. So they can be put... So I'll turn them into, like, a kid that knows everything I know at a much earlier age, right, about everything, and also know how to keep it to themselves, so they'll be the perfect little infiltrators.
Right. Yeah, I'm too. You know, I speak out too much. I can't infiltrate anything, man. I'm sure the JWO has my pictures and prints everywhere, man.
You're just lucky you're not 6'4" like me.
I'm 6'1", man, so I'm not too far.
I can't hide from anything.
What got you into this, Vinny? If I may ask you, what was your hot button?
I think it was definitely listening and watching to all the American talk radio and watching all the documentaries online after getting really badly shafted at work. Like, I wrote a 7-page essay. I was the top salesman there for like full 6 months solid, top of the boards. Not one single day did I not get number one sales. And they promoted me to a job that was just more sales, and I told them I didn't want to do it anymore. You know, it was like time to hang up my guns. It was over. But they put me in a similar position, and I just basically didn't do the job. And instead, I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company, because there were oodles of things wrong. Because in my promotion, I was able to network and look around and find people all over the company that could do all the jobs and everything that I needed them to do in order for things to happen smoothly. You know, if you know somebody in tech department, you can get them to do this for you, that sort of thing. And so I knew quite a lot about what all these people did for a living. And they explained to me a lot of the different things that were wrong. You know, training programs inadequate, things like that. And good 7 pages of it. We had a meeting, and it was like 2 minutes or something. I think we got through 2 pages of it before the guy who called the meeting to address all the issues, and which everybody in the meeting was agreeing with.
Right.
He got a text message, and then you just say, sorry, you know, I can't do this. 3 days pass, nothing's happening, nothing's getting addressed. I ask him, what's up? You know, are we going to address any of these issues or what? And he's like, as far as I'm concerned, the matter is closed. And a day later, my boss comes to me and asks me for a coffee next door. Slams a piece of paper down in front of me, and he says, sign it. I say, what am I signing? And he says, well, basically, we're going to give you 6 weeks' pay if you leave right now. And I said, right now, like in 5 minutes? And he's like, yep. And I thought about it for 2 seconds, and it was just like, it was just starting up summer, you know, it was December near Christmas and all of that kind of stuff. And I was just thinking, I hadn't had a summer holiday in quite some time. So I took the money, and I buggered off. But it was after another two jobs where I got shafted in the exact same way, tried to help, tried to make everything better for the company, performed really high levels, but kept getting shut down by these people who were more powerful than me, who just didn't want to see anything change.
Right.
And I figured out that, and because it was three different jobs with three different companies in a similar industry that treated me in the exact same way, I began to think that the entire system is like this.
Right.
It's not just a few isolated bad apples. The whole thing sucks. And coupled with these documentaries, I started absorbing them hugely. Like, I was watching maybe 2 documentaries a day for a good 6 months. And it greatly improved my knowledge of the world. Yeah. In a geometric state, you know, it's just when you watch one documentary can change your life. Imagine watching 2 a day for 6 months.
You got the Uber, you know, the super deprogramming, man.
Yeah, it's like it was almost like I was infected with a virus of ignorance and naivety, and then the truth came along.
Right.
No, the truth wasn't a vaccination. That would have given me an autoimmune disease. The truth was, in actual fact, good old-fashioned vitamin C, high-dose vitamin C. Kill any virus known to man, pretty much. Ultimate viricide. You don't need anything more than that. You buy these lipospheric tablets or something like that, $10 worth of vitamin C. You can cure bloody dengue fever with $10 worth of vitamin C.
Interesting. I like vitamin C, man. Yeah, my DO, his mentor was Dr. Linus Pauling, and we basically call him the godfather of vitamin C.
Mm-mm. And the other guy to be of note there on the vitamin C front is Dr. Thomas Levy.
No.
Oh, mate, you really got to see it. I did a presentation for him. You know, I turned his talk into a sort of, you know, documentary with the slides and what have you. And it's quite spectacular. You know, snake bite. Give me your vitamin C. Hey, all of us here. We're sweet as. It's unbelievable. There's so much stuff. This guy in New Zealand, he had, what was it, hairy cell leukemia? And the worst case of swine flu we'd ever seen. He was on an ECMO machine that was breathing for him and kept doing those bodily functions and everything like that. So giving him vitamin C, and then all of a sudden, he's sweet as. And the doctors, and you know what the doctor said? Oh, it must have been because we turned him on his stomach. And then when they were questioned on this, they said, well, anything could, it could be a range of different factors. You know, a bus could have driven by at the right moment to say, was that a factor? It's just like, what? This was the head of medicine at a hospital saying this.
All right, well, let me give
it
you...
It was just as likely that a bus driving by at the right time could have been responsible for this guy surviving both hairy cell leukemia and swine flu right after being injected with intravenous vitamin C.
Well, my DO does do that, man. He'll give you 50,000, 70,000, 90,000, what is it,
milligrams
or micrograms in a bag, and you sit there for 2 hours while... I had a gig one time where... I had 3 days to get healthy before the gig. So I saw Doc Von Kiel, and he hooked me up every day for 3 days. And by the third day, man, I was just zooming. I mean, I was like walking like I was healthier than I'd ever been. And so I'm definitely a big believer in that. But talking about the ludicrousness of the medical death cartel, one of the researchers has come forward with that maybe if you're obese when you're pregnant, that is a cause of autism. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me, man? I had a great aunt that had 17 kids, and she was obese, okay? This is a great aunt. So she lived back in, like, the 30s, 40s. She had 17 of them, a very large woman, all right? Not one of them had autism. Not one of them had ADD. Not one of them had ADHD, okay? That's all a vaccination problem, and a lot of us know it. But, you know, the Congress here has protected the scumbag vaccine manufacturers, which I'm sure if you, you know... Look who owns it, it'd still be the same tribe, because if it doesn't make sense, then some Zionist is making some money off of it, man.
Yep. And where did you get that particular urge, because everybody's kind of picks their enemy in the truth movement. For me, it's just general scumbaggery and the sort of suffering that it causes. And I don't really have any particular strike points at this particular moment? I'm not sure. I'm kind of very general. But you love to attack the Zionists, and I love to attack them too, because they're absolutely the worst scumbags out of a long list of bad scumbaggery.
Well, let's do the quick list, man. Before they were neocons, which is the neo-Bolsheviks that are running the Republican Party right now, they were Jews, right? Before they were Marxists, Bolsheviks, and Mensheviks, and communists, they were Jews. Here in America, the slave traders, 98% of them were Jews, okay? So, but, you know, to discombobulate an American, all you got to do is change the name of the Jew to something else, okay, like a Jacobin, French Revolution, or Venetian banker, and all of a sudden, like, oh, it's not the Jews, it's the Venetian bankers. No, it's the Jew, okay? So you got to take away that facade that they always hide behind, and you got to break it down for the dum-dums out there, okay? If we could just focus on that one group, 60 to 80% of the world's profit would go away. Not all of them, but the majority of them. But you got to remember, they fund most of them, okay? Or they encourage the Shabbos Goy, the trader amongst us, to do their bidding for them. They wouldn't be there to do that anymore. So I think if we cut the head of the cancer off, the rest of the ugly body politic will die with it. And that's where my focus and time and attention is, because I'm not here to talk about, you know, all the subgroups. I'm here to talk about the pilot in the main seat.
The tip top of the capstone, right? And we're talking about when you talk about, I think there's usually distinctions that need to be made about, you know, race, religion, and politics. Zionism is a political belief, kind of like a Republican would believe in, you know, the Republic or whatever. And being a Jew is a religious belief, kind of like a Catholic would belong to the Catholic Church. The Jews belong to a synagogue. And then there's the race thing. For example, a Semite would be a group of people. But then again, not all Semites are Jews, and not all Jews are Semites either. In fact, something like, what, 80, 90% of Jews are not Semitic?
And I'd say 90 to 95% in Israel or the Japhethite Ashkenazi Khazars, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a group of other different tribes. How many tribes were there in total?
Well, if you're talking about Israelites, there were 12. One got banished, two came in when Joseph basically bequeathed his sons Manasseh, and I can't think of the other guy's name right now. But those have nothing to do with the current makeup of those who call themselves Jews today. I mean, you have three different races making up Jews today. You have the Hamites, which are the Falasha blacks. You have the Sephardics, who are the Semites, which are, you know, probably like more tan than anything else. And then you have the Ashkenazi Khazars or Japhethites. Okay, so all three sons of Noah, there's a line calling themselves Jews today. And let me break it down even further for you, brother. Zionism is a political system that comes out of the Jewish belief, okay, out of the books of the Talmud and the Kabbalah. All right, so it doesn't matter if it's Zionism today, communism yesterday, Jacobism before that. All these different isms all come from the demonic books of those who call themselves Jews. Now, if you want to be an Ashkenazi Khazar and not follow the demonic faith of Judaism, I probably don't have a problem with you.
We've got to go. We're going to go back in a minute with Paul Tapedi.
Sean David Morton here to tell all of my fantastic fans and friends about one of the greatest conference gatherings of all time of your favorite New Age, New Thought, and radio personalities. The Alchemy event, starting at 8:30 a.m. April 28th to Sunday, April 29th. Come to the Alchemy event in West Los Angeles. Or if you can't join us all in person, you can have the fantastic opportunity to watch it on Global Stream Live online for a celebration of global peace and transformation, ET disclosure, prophecy, earth changes, ufology, metaphysics, consciousness, healing, and meditation. Join me for lunch with special guests, Coast to Coast George Nori, Project Camelot's Kerry Cassidy, Dr. Roger Lear, Michael Hercules Barra, Saeed David Farman, Dr. Louis Thierry, Sudi Burnett, and many, many more. Tickets on sale now. Register online at alchemyevent.com or click on AFR's homepage. That's alchemyevent.com. The Alchemy Event in Los Angeles, California, April 28th and 29th. Don't you dare miss it. See you there.
Witnesses, first responders, and others tell the story the NTSB and the FBI hope to cover up. The documentary film, Wellstone, They Killed Him, examines the killer's motives, means, and opportunity. Who was Senator Paul Wellstone, and why would anyone want to kill him? High on the motive list is that the populist Minnesota senator, one of 23 who voted against the Iraq War in 2002, was sticking his nose into 9/11. Wellstone intimates say he was asking too many questions, that he wanted to get to the bottom of what really happened on 9/11. And thus was publicly executed as a warning. Watch the preview at WellstoneTheyKilledHim.com. A portion of the sales goes to fund a public investigation. Order a DVD for just $20. Help support our future projects. We document what the corporate and quote-unquote left media ignore. Chemtrails, weaponized mycoplasma, the IVAW, Bilderbergs, cyanine, and the neo-Malthusian depopulation assault on humanity. Visit SnowshoeFilms.com or go to AFR's homepage and click the Snowshoe Films banner.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are transcending an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rose near $16.50 an ounce Monday on bargain hunting. Gold last traded at $16.41 an ounce, silver $31.69. What would a global currency collapse look like, asks Michael Savage of economist and author Craig Smith. And how can Americans prepare for something that's never happened before in history? According to Smith, we face an international currency collapse unless one of three things happen. Sadly, all three options appear to be extremely unlikely to occur. Why? According to Smith, good economics and good politics simply don't mix. Find out what Obama's biggest economic problem is at SwissAmerica.com. While you're there, read about why voters are cheering for the Supreme Court's challenge of Obamacare and central banks warning against bullion fraud. Call today, toll-free, 1-800-289-2646 for your free copy of The Future of Money. Brand new Savage CD, 1-800-289-2646, 800-289-2646.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit-forming. American Freedom Radio is habit-forming. Use the truth carefully.
Hey, this is Roxy Lopez. I'm the host of the Truth Denied Talk Show, which airs live every Friday evening from 7 to 9 Central, only on the American Freedom Radio Network. Join us.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow like this? Like this? Like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic.
Welcome.
Check, 1, 2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet?
Welcome to the show. That's all about keeping it bangster. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, the biggest, baddest little network where you can say whatever you bloody well want. Except under FCC regulations, I'm not sure if bloody is coming. Like, for example, there was a bloody chunk of meat. You know, maybe that can be fit in somewhere. But anyway, Paul Tapiti is the guest, and I've always been calling you Paul Tapita, like a Paul Tapita bread.
How about like a spaghetti bread, man? Like Tapiti spaghetti, man. It's all right.
Yeah. Tapiti spaghetti. I think everybody should have a business that kind of rhymes with their names, or has something funny to do with it. Like my cousin married a guy named Mark Dingle, and I suggested he get into making bells, Dingle bells, and he said, no, mate, I think I was actually get into growing strawberries and blueberries, so he'd be selling dingleberries.
Yeah, dude. Too funny, man.
Well, there you go. Actually, he made the joke. But anyway, we all have to make fun of ourselves, don't we?
Hey, man, if you can't laugh at yourself, then you're in the wrong business, you know?
Exactly. And speaking of the business, there's something you mentioned on the show earlier, I think the last time we had you on, about how back in the day when you were getting in the music scene and all of that kind of stuff, you were like up there with Nickelback and what have you.
As up-and-comers, yeah, man.
And they were quite willing to sing about the hero being Spider-Man, but you were kind of more sort of just saying, well, look, the hero is everybody.
Yeah, it was more like the things that we were talking about and the things that were in our music was very anti-establishment, and the music business is, you know, owned by the special tribe, just like they own the media and our government and academia and a bunch of other different things. That, you know, they don't like the story that they've been selling to us through the money that we give to them. You know, they've spent trillions of our dollars to basically brainwash into believing that there's only one paradigm here in life, and it's not. And I'm here to kick you in the face and wake you up that, yo, get out of your soma coma, man. Wake the hell up. And, you know, you got to break through the facade that has been put before you. And that's my job, my band's job, and that's to bring you back into the land of humanity and start standing up for what is right. You know, don't just let it go by because you're polluted with the beer and the sports going on.
Yeah. Like, stuff can be difficult. Like, for example, have you ever tried to crack a macadamia nut? Notoriously hard to crack. Incredibly tough shells, perfectly circled so they can fly everywhere, that kind of thing, and get out of whatever nutcracker you got on. They almost require special devices kind of thing in order to get that macadamia nut out. And I see these people who are ruling academia as academia nuts, and they're notoriously difficult to crack as well, because you've got to get them in the right situation, you've got to make sure that there's no way they can escape, and you actually have to apply sufficient force as to crack that hard exterior shell.
I like it.
I think that's basically what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a bunch of academia nuts, and we want to be able to crack them and make them part of our dessert. You know, called a nice decent future for us and our children and all the subsequent generations to come. The difficulty being is people don't recognise that any free generation is no more than one generation away from tyranny. And right. The Founding Fathers were right. You know, it's eternal vigilance. You've got to be eternally vigilant. And it appears that the successful revolutions that have stayed, say, like you take Hugo Chavez, for instance, think what you want of him, but his revolution did stay, even after the CIA kidnapped him and what have you. Millions of people came into the streets. Why? Because of his main policy, to educate people about their rights, their constitution, their country, and to do it virulently, to even come into villages and teach people himself if necessary. And as a result of him educating the public in the way that they were supposed to, you know, run their country and what have you, he got such massive support when he was kidnapped that people were flooded into the streets, and there was no way that a coup could have been successful because the people were behind him, because they were educated. And I think that's right. The form of the media today is to educate people on a wider format so that when coups and other forms of generic scumbaggery attaches itself to your nation state, you should be capable of coming out there in vast numbers, having all had the education and knowing the reason why it is so important to be there at the forefront.
Well, they're supposed to be the watchdogs, but since the late 1800s, the Jews have made it their main priority to basically buy up all the media in the United States so that they can control the content, thus control the programming of our minds, or basically, like Ron Paul. It wouldn't be a fair fight, man. I mean, Ron would be everywhere, winning everywhere, but because they control the press just like they do, and, you know, between that and the vote fraud and the Jews media not exposing the vote fraud, then idiots like Obongo and Mitt and Crap Romney keep winning. And America, you know, you're going to get more of the same. It doesn't matter if it's a red suit or a blue suit. They're a global suit. And I'm looking for – look, man, I want to stay American. I don't want to become part of any North American Union, part of some global plantation after that. I think you want to stay a New Zealander. My cousins in Mexico want to stay Mexican. None of us want to be part of this cesspool of a global world order. And I'm going to fight to stay American and try to elevate the rest of humanity to my level, not try to – destroy America and bring us down to a third world cesspool like everybody else. So it's time to break that control, man, which is the name of one of our songs.
Break that control. It's breaking the programming, you know, and I see it very similar, like the Matrix allegory, for instance. And it's kind of like we're trying to hack into the program that people have been installed with, kind of thing. The I love my Republican and Democratic Party. I love to go to war. I love to eat aspartame and support McDonald's and all of that kind of thing. It's just
I like
kind
my
of,
vaccinations.
Yeah. I like my vaccinations. I like my psychotropic drugs. I like my policemen who are former incredibly insane veterans who have post-traumatic stress disorder and a very short fuse. I like that in a state trooper.
Totally.
That's the programming that we need to break. Now, in a sense, how do you break a program?
You find their hot button, man, something that they're very passionate about. And unfortunately, for most, it's going to take suffering on their part for them to finally break that programming. And until enough of the middle class in America doesn't have jobs to go to, which is already happening, and homes to go to, which is also happening, all those homeless people are going to be future soldiers, man, and many more to come because, you know, there's no society when you have nowhere to go to work, nowhere to go to live. And I think that's what they want, you know, easier to put people into camps, re-education camps, extermination camps, you know.
They don't want anybody to have freedom or self-sufficiency because then they wouldn't be dependent. They wouldn't be under control, right? And
right.
If it's the New World Order agenda to make us dependent, then obviously it's the duty of everybody who recognizes this to become independent.
Yeah,
take away their power and their control. Now, let's take oil companies and cartels, for instance. It's very difficult to make yourself independent of them because, you know, ultimately it takes an awful lot of effort to get your car off that particular grid, doesn't it? Or food, for example, it's again very difficult to grow and sustain enough food by yourself unless you like working at it full time. You know, it's the system has made all of us very, very dependent on it.
Dependent, for
a very long time.
They made us addicts.
So it means that the entire system, all as one, has to change because you can't really maintain independence in one sense without losing all your independence in a lot of others. So if you're going to reset the system, like that's how, again, you take out a program like Windows or whatever and reset the system if it's going all haywire and you want it to go back running normally again, or you reinstall it. Because let's think about all of the current people in politics. What if all the current people who are representing us in politics and these major esoteric organizations, you know, like IMF, World Bank, Bank of International Settlements, the UN, all of that kind of thing. What if every single one of those people that's in prime positions in those particular organizations all around the world who are holding all the power and all the keys right now are the real problem? And we just need to have a reset button. And none of those people can get back in. Sorry, guys. You know, you've done your dash. You've proved that you can't do it. We're not going to kill you or hold you in jail or anything like that. But we're just going to get somebody else to do your job. And we're going to figure out as a people who should actually do that. Because you should have elections. The problem is with elections, that system's defunct too. So you can't even have elections.
Right.
And with revolutions, those are defunct too because all the revolutions wind up getting bloody and then some other tyrant winds up taking control.
Yeah, most of the time that's how it goes, brother.
It's a pickle. And the thing is, because you're trying to solve all the world's problems, you forget about your own problems. And ultimately, the biggest and most complicated problems often have the most simple solution. If I want to change the world, I must first change myself. Forget about the rest of the world's problems. You can't solve them by yourself. You can't figure them out right now at this particular moment. But think about your own problems and your own life. Have I got enough money? Am I in a decent, stable position? Am I able to survive if necessary? Blah, 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 blah. Have you figured that out? If not, then the rest of these world problems are insignificant because you can't really have much of an effect on them.
Well,
and if you solve all your own problems, if everybody solves their own problems, on the other hand, all of those big problems magically disappear.
Well, so I think since the last time we talked, Vinny, I've been busy putting together a new political party, excuse me, called PAZ, Party of the Anti-Zionists. And it's not just going to be a national party, it's going to be global because every country is affected by these scumbags. And one of the party, I'm going to be writing up the party planks really soon, and it's going to be called the Protocols of Solutions by the Learned Elders of Christ. And just the name alone, man, I get a lot of good laughs at because they get it. Part of it is because it's in our lexicon, it's part of the pop culture that we have these elders of Zion and, you know, the protocols of them. And so it's like, you know, I will use their language and turn it against them. That's one of the best things I've been able to do. And basically the solutions are going to be everything, or, you know, so that we can free ourselves from this dependency. And like you said, it does start with you, but once you've changed you, where do you go from there? Well, you change your family if you can, then you change your community, then you change your state, then you change your country. And we're busy at all those different levels of reaching different people that can multiply our efforts. And once we get party platform down, then it can really go global. Right now, we have probably like 700 believers in this party that, you know, are going to grow it in their own different countries. We have folks in New Zealand, Australia, England, Canada, Mexico, you know, throughout Europe, especially the Middle East. So it's already global, and we're already conversing between ourselves. So keep it in mind, Party of the Anti-Zionist, with the Protocols Indeed. Of Solutions.
Indeed. And we have a caller here. It's Lennon in Wisconsin. Lennon, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Lennon, are you there? Yeah, man, we can hear you.
Hi, Lennon from Wisconsin. Look, I don't know if I heard this right, but I think the guy who was just, I just popped in, I don't know if he's a guest or not, saying the Jew-controlled media.
Yeah.
Did I hear that right?
You did.
Okay. Look, I mean, right now what we're doing, like, we got the facts. So obviously, you know, it's not so much about the facts. What we have to take it is into the direction of a more philosophical revolution, the change of the people. You know, the change starts within us first, and then, you know, by redirecting yourself and redirecting your energy and, you know, figuring out what you got to do with yourself, you figure out what you got to do with your life. But, I mean, no offense, but if we're going around saying, you know, the Jew-controlled media, I mean, that stuff is straight from, you know, the Missouri State, MIAC report and the Department of Homeland Security American Extremist Defense Lexicon. I mean, that is straight from their books. And if we do everything by their books, they're just going to bring it right down, because
They also say people with blue jeans and cell phones and who are browsing the internet in a private way, or who carry a pocket constitution, or who talk about sovereignty, are terrorists as well.
Exactly. That's true. But the thing is that those racial kind of things, those things that could be turned over to, say, bigotry, that could really enrage, you know, all the trendy left, that's what's going to get against us. But if we come out and we're this group that is, about peace, that is about acceptance, that we don't put down that group, that we come out front forward and say, hey, we're not left, we're not right, we're not blaming this group, we're not blaming that group. We just want a better world. No one can be able to disagree with that.
That's a good point, Lennon, and I'd like you to hold on after the break if you want to get a response. And ladies and gentlemen, we'd like other people to join the conversation too. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Back in a minute.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's the story of a lost city, lost opportunity, lost hope. A story of failed policies, failed leadership. A story of smooth-talking politicians, games of he said, she said, rhetoric, and division. One man has stood apart, stood strong, and true. Voting against every tax increase, every unbalanced budget, every time. Standing up to the Washington machine, guided by principle. Ron Paul, the one who will stop the spending, save the dollar, create jobs, bring peace. The one who will restore liberty. Ron Paul, the one who can beat Obama and restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
What's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinny Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio. Broadcasting live, AmericanFreedomRadio.com, boogieing it down in the Schwarzenegger center of the world. All day, every day, brother.
Where are your papers?
Where are your papers? Or are you carrying, a weapon of some kind? A knife or a spoon?
No, I carry an acoustic guitar that can destroy nations, man.
You got the acoustic guitar like that guy in Desperado has, you know, it's like full of weapons or something like that, or it turns into a rocket launcher.
Yeah,
a song with Derek. Take down TWA Flight 420. Well, anyway, we were going back to our caller there, Lennon in Wisconsin, and we're also going to bring in Lisa from Texas if you want to call back, and I kind of wanted to add you into this call here. So, Lennon, where did you leave off? You were talking about how we needed to kind of be rounded off and together as people and talk about peace and what have you, rather than going around saying we hate this particular group of people and that particular group of people who are responsible or what have you, right?
No, not exactly. The thing is, it's like this. If you go up to anybody out there in the streets and you say, the Illuminati is trying to take over the world, what are they going to say? Oh, so this crazy guy, he's into conspiracy theories, he thinks some secret society, and yeah, okay, yeah, it is true. But what if you say, oh, well, you know, it's just, you know, it's power and greed. It's the same old people. When you talk to the left, you can talk about the big corporations, because the UN is a corporation. The Federal Reserve Bank is a private corporation. And, you know, when you talk to the right, you can just talk about big government. I mean, we gotta use these, this way that isn't so necessarily, I guess, bam in your face, I guess to say it. I mean, we have to say the truth, but.
You mean it needs to be the truth, but it needs to be put in a delicate way so as to not be so abrasive to people. And I can understand that. I remember it was like early morning after a party one time, and this girl was like really insulting. She says, I just think you're a know-it-all and you don't think anything. And she's like, yeah, but I'm just telling the truth, yeah. You know. And it's just like, well, some people use the truth as an excuse to be rude.
Yeah. No, I've gotten the same thing so many times. Oh, well, you know what? You just know everything then. You know, at the beginning when you first talk to it, I mean, ultimately we have to remember that people are scared. If you had this much information, you know, I said to one person, if I have this much information about 9/11, if there is this much, you know, all these organizations, all these scientists, all these people coming out, give me one logical reason as to why you would not look into it. And they could not give me an answer, because the answer is fear. I mean, people in a sense are arrogant, but that arrogance ultimately comes out of fear that we don't want to come back and admit our mistakes, because if we admit our mistakes, if we admit that we were wrong, then that means we're going to have to ultimately pull ourselves into reality that's already worse. I mean, a lot of one of the problems is that we're trying to sell a picture that's even worse than what's happening right now. I mean, there's disease, there's famine, people are losing their jobs, you know, everybody wants hope and change, and they're just begging it from the Republican and Democratic Party, and all they're giving them is just lies and crap. But here we have the truth. I mean, we have something amazing. Gandhi said, the truth has a wonderful quality of being that of the truth. I mean, we have the possibility of amazing life. We have long health. We have a perfect working society, I guess, in a sense. We have the end of war, the end of all this horribleness, and we really need to advertise that it's something big like that, because if we go around saying, well, let me tell you, buddy, this crap is a lot worse than it seems, what are people going to think? Oh, my God, I don't want to find out about that. I'm not going to give in to that lifestyle. And even if it is true in the back of their minds that they're thinking, even though it is, because all we're saying is facts, they're not going to be able to come to that subconsciously, because ultimately this whole thing derives out of fear. You know, the Patriot Act, why do people submit? Well, they're afraid. Why do people vote for Obama when it's so plain to see that everything he said was the exact opposite that he promised? Well, because people are scared. I mean, the hope, the change. Read Plato, Georgias by Plato. You know, the Illuminati are obsessed with Plato. I mean, Obama is Mr. Rhetoric. He's the king of rhetoric. That's all they do. You know, he who controls the rhetoric, he who is the craftsman of persuasion, is thus able to control the moneymakers, is thus able to control the trainers of society. I'm reading this, you know, straight from Plato himself. I mean, these guys are straight up just words. And basically, at the end of the day, what we got to remember is that they're selling a lie, and they're getting away with it. So we have to come back and say, all right, let's think about this. How can we sell this that we have the truth? Because ultimately, the truth is way better than the lie. You know, how can we sell it the way they sell it? But
no, that's the problem. That's the problem. If you're trying to sell a product to somebody that's true, you can only say what's actually true about it. If, on the other hand, you're selling a product to somebody that's a lie, you can claim that it does all those things that that person wants it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not burdened by those restrictions there. That's
exactly
why lies are so much easier to believe, because they can be said at particularly times that are convenient. They can be whispered in soft tones that make it more easy.
Oh yeah,
you turn on
the television. Your favorite family is there every single day. You drive down the street, the burger is always the same. Your French fries are always the same. It always has the same amount of MSG and the perfect combination of high fructose corn syrup. It's always perfect. Yeah.
And we have Lisa from Texas calling in as well. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Vinny. I'm sorry I called yesterday too, but this is the topic that, that Paul's talking about that I've recently just done a lot of research in, and I just wanted to confirm what Paul is saying, and I think that the caller before, I don't agree with him. I think Zionism is such, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It's such an integral part to the New World Order that you can't not address it because it's literally just helping to destroy our country culturally, spiritually, financially, and so forth. And I'll give you one real-life example, something really good that's going on. There is a show, I think it's on ABC, called Good Christian Bitches. It's really a nasty show.
How about it's Ugly really Kaiser nasty. Bitches, I mean, man?
Huh? What?
How about we come up with a show called Ugly Kaiser Bitches, man?
Yeah, that I think that's already been done. But I don't know about
it.
There
was a sci-fi version called Ugly Quasar Bitches.
I think it's like 16th birthday parties of girls, you know. But at any rate, what's going on that's great is there's a guy, he's a Christian pastor, he's an anti-Zionist. He's trying to wake the people up that are the most deluded by Zionism, which are Christians. They don't know they're you know, following to their own destruction. But the deal is that he has been able to get, you know, wake people up to the show, and you know, of course, it's out of Hollywood. We know who runs them, and there's a massive boycott campaign going on of calling the sponsors, the advertising sponsors, and you would not believe the number of sponsors that are dropping their advertising from this show. So there's a really, that's a positive thing that's going on. It's sending, you know, if anything, it's sending a message. And I think that's great.
That is great.
Yeah. And, you know, no one wants to be at war with anyone else. I understand what the caller before was maybe saying, divide and conquer.
Well, he's still here. He's still here, by the way.
I'm just listening.
Lisa, keep talking then. Because we're all listening.
Please finish.
I understand that divide and conquer isn't a good thing, but we do have to put in the light of day, you know, who is responsible for some of these shenanigans, you know, towards world government. And it is such an obvious strain, thread responsibility, through the New World Order.
It's about placing responsibility where it actually was. It's about sorting the wheat from the chaff.
Right. And I want to love everybody, no matter what religion or not they're from. We want that, and that's what we need to all work for. But I think that's good, Vinny. We have to call a spade and say, hey, this is not, number one, Zionism is not only, you know, harming non-Jewish, you know, and just the whole world in any way you can imagine. It is also using their own unwitting people that really are not very connected in with their faith. There are, you know, so many secular Jews these days, and that's fine. But, you know, they're I know that in World War II, there were some secret talk negotiations going on between Hitler and the Zionists, and Hitler was going to let thousands upon thousands go, Jews go out of Europe. But he did not. He wasn't going to let them. So the part of the deal was not to go. They couldn't go to Palestine. So the Zionists said, "Well, if they can't go to Palestine, forget it. They'll stay there." Well, the Zionist agenda, the powers, they sacrifice their own people for the greater agenda of creating, you know, the state of Israel. That's horrible. That's horrible. So they're
indeed. For them, no cost is too high, especially if they can just make others pay the cost for them in blood. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Paul Tapetti is my guest. After the break, we've got another caller as well as Rupert from Hi. It's Rupert. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
America is in trouble.
Washington is a disgrace.
Government has become too big. It's overtaxing, overspending.
We need to change direction.
We really need change.
We can't afford to make the same mistakes we've made in the past.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper.
He went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
There is need for economic stimulus.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
This election is about trust.
There's been one true, consistent candidate, and that's Dr. Ron Paul.
Ron Paul has been so consistent from the very beginning.
He seems like a more honest candidate.
He tells the truth about what he believes, whether you like it or not.
He's never once voted for a tax increase, never once voted for an unbalanced budget.
Ron Paul's plan is bold, cut five departments. It's what we need.
When he says he's going to cut $1 trillion in the first year, I believe it.
If you don't like how things are going, you're tired of politicians, he's something different.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Is the one we've been looking for.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, irradiated with the wonderful, glorious, soaking rays of Fukushima, and now everybody's getting a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest Paul Tapiti is here with us, and also we now have Rupert from Hyatt's. Rupert joining us. Rupert, welcome to the program, mate.
Thank you so much for having me again, Vinny.
And also another person we've got to add to the conversation here, one of our callers. Lennon, if you're still there, you can speak up if you want, but we're going to go to Kathy in California. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
And we're good.
Sunshine with all that radiation out here with the chemtrails. But two things I got for you. The macadamia nuts, going back that far, you need a special macadamia nut cracker for those. Did you know that?
You can get a special cracker?
A regular nutcracker, if it doesn't work, you need a special one that actually holds the thing in there and then you crunch it down. We used to raise macadamia nuts. Anyway,
Are they trouble as children?
Huh?
You used to raise macadamia nuts. Were they trouble as children?
Hillary.
Oh, he's
funny
with that.
You have to peel off one, and then there's that one underneath. You have to take the top one off before you can send them off to Calavo or whoever that sells them in the store. But anyway,
they grow up so quick, don't they?
Moving back to what you guys are talking about, I don't know if you realize it. Back in January, the Pope claimed governorship over Jerusalem, and the Zionists are not the true Jews. They are run by the Jesuits. They are actually run by the Jesuits, and the Pope is control over that whole area. He's wanted Israel under his control for a long time. And when Christ returns, what's going to happen is the Roman Empire is reemerging and it's going to be in control once again, just as it was when Christ was on earth way back when. Anyway, that's part one. Part two is Rothschild is not Jewish. That's a French name. If you look back in the history, this is just a name they came up. They are not Jewish at all.
Exactly. The big controllers here really aren't Jewish, and which brought me to the biggest point here. I mean, we have to understand that can't we all, you know, bring ourselves up to that next level to see that this whole Jewish thing, I mean, obviously there's a quarrel on Wall Street, you know, there's the Jewish bankings versus the American bankings, but isn't that just another paradigm for us to get lost in? Isn't that just another level of the pyramid? I mean, whether they have their special interest thing going on or not, you know, I'm sure they do. Everybody's got their own interest to watch out, and they want to watch out for their own people. But we can't honestly believe that they're at the top level, because these people had a lot to do with the Holocaust. And if it was really them who were,
kidding me, man?
They wouldn't have all of them, you know, they wouldn't allow this to happen. So, you know, we got to step up past that level and say, hey, I mean, let's call their bluff and not give in to that whole little thing, because that's exactly what they want us to do. They don't want us to see that whole top entire level, that whole top entire story. They want, you know, the people to be stuck down there, and then if you make it past that level, well, it doesn't matter, because they're going to get stuck, you know, hating the Jews. And then if they hate the Jews, well, then the Jews will just hate them back, and then everybody on the left will just call them racist, and then we'll just have this big revelation, and Obama will come in and send everybody to jail and send them to FEMA camps for being racist, and we wouldn't have even gotten the people at the top, because the people at the top, they're not Jewish. Mikhail Gorbachev and Zbigniew Brzezinski and all these guys, they're not Jewish, and we can't give in to that. It's just another paradigm. It's just another distraction, and you know, we got to smarten up.
And is backing the truck up to the Holocaust. The Vatican was behind that. Did you know that? Hitler's Pope was Pope Pius XII?
Oh, yeah, no. The Vatican helped funnel a lot of the top-level Nazis right out of Germany and send them right to Argentina, yeah. They even had a trail that went from Germany through Europe out to southeastern Europe that had, you know, several major churches along the route where they would hire certain priests to help hide away all the Nazi commanders as they would funnel them out of the country, yeah.
Yeah, and they also
that was known as Operation Papal Clip.
Well, yeah, but they also had Vatican rat lines, and they also put Hitler, Mussolini, and all those guys in office. Mussolini paid the Vatican, or the Vatican paid Mussolini, however it went, a bunch of money, and then put him in power, and they got their little piece of land called the Vatican, where it's at now. They were behind Hitler.
Hold on. When did Vatican City actually become its own independent state? Was it around World War II when Mussolini was in charge?
Nine is when Mussolini signed over the land to the Vatican, to the Pope.
And in 1939.
And I believe it was Pope Pius the Ninth or the 11th. I can't remember which pope was in office when that happened. Might have been the 11th. And then Pope Pius the 12th took over. And they
I'm talking about the year. What year?
What year they got the Vatican was 1929, before World War III or II started.
When did Mussolini get elected?
I don't know when but the Vatican backed Mussolini and all those guys, Stalin. They killed Patton, and they were going to kill MacArthur, but he got out, thank God. But he was on the hit list.
Mm-hmm.
But those good guys, you know, they always knock off the good guys. They try to. The Rothschilds are the banksters for the Jesuits, which run the Federal Reserve. The Vatican is going to be over the banksters completely eventually. I don't know if it's there yet, but that is what.
I've seen articles. Vatican calling for New World Order, and they're in there.
I just see the Vatican as like a part three of like a three-stage power play with the Trilateral Commission, which David Rockefeller set up. When did he set it up? In like the 60s or something? Linking the City of London and the City of Washington, D.C. and the Vatican City together. So together they control the ecclesiastical power, military power, and financial power of the world. And essentially just through those three main pillars alone, they're capable of exerting virtually the majority of dominance on world events. And so it matters not whether it's the Jesuits or the Jews or whomever. The fact of the matter is this kind of stuff is going on. But guys, we've got to jump. We've got another caller in here. Thank you very much for your input, Kathy and Lennon. I've quite enjoyed this a little bit. Our next caller is calling in from area code 260. Welcome.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm good, sir. What's your first name and what's the state you're calling from?
I'm in Indiana. My name's Keith.
Welcome, Keith. What would you like to talk to about today?
Well, I wanted to first off offer one correction. Sephardic, quote, Jews, unquote, are no more Israelites than are Ashkenazi, quote, Jews, unquote. Because none of them have anything to do with Jews. Here's the facts. Been doing this for 18 years. Looked up Hebrew, Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jew, Gentile. Know all the words used. Know the whole history. Can't explain it to you in less than about 3 months, but I'll try to do a summary in 2 minutes. Covenant people are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, starting with Genesis 17, and you can go back to 15, but 17 summarizes it. The everlasting covenant was made with Abraham and his seed. That would be through Isaac and Jacob. All right, these are all descendants of Adam. You can go back and do the original genealogies through Genesis 5 and then 10 and 11. The Sepharvim replaced the children of Israel after the Assyrian captivity, which began 740 B.C. and ended about 721. That was the deportation of the entire 10 northern tribes. The fact is, God's chosen people, and they are a chosen people, and they are chosen to be above all people of the earth, and they're the only ones he revealed his law to, and that's Deuteronomy 7:6. I've chosen you to be a people above all people of the earth, are all Israelites, but Israelites haven't called themselves Israelites or Jews for probably a millennium and a half. That's an estimate. Might be 1,000 years. It might even be 1,900 years. Can't pan it out. But we don't call ourselves Jews or Israel. In other words, the true people of God don't even call themselves Jews or Israel. That's why they never get anywhere, because they can't understand these things. Isaiah 62 and 65 will show you that their name would be left as a curse unto them. The people running the world are all seed of the serpent, from Genesis 3:15. They're the descendants of Cain, who were fathered by the serpent, which is defined by the Bible as Satan the devil. Now, a lot of people...
Now, also, incidentally, the Vatican's symbol is a red dragon or serpent. And there's something like 17 references to the Antichrist in the Bible or something around those lines, and only the Vatican actually fits every single one of them together. Everybody else, like some people have said that, Prince Charles of Wales will be the Antichrist or whatever. Hold on a second, but there's not this, this, and this. But I find a problem with when you use Scripture in your daily life to explain what's going on. As far as I'm concerned, you can just look at what's going on, and that explains itself.
Well, it only does if you understand it's not geopolitical or even political. It's really racial. That's why they spent 150 years brainwashing all white people about how racist they are.
It's because they're eugenicists. It's because they're eugenicists. Well, they don't like people in general.
Well, the whole thing is that if you really look at the Bible, that the power of the Holy Spirit in the church was gone about 100 A.D. You can prove that from Revelation 2 and the beginning of the book of Jude, what Paul's prophesied in Acts chapter 20, that after his death, grievous wolves would come in, not sparing the flock, and there would be some within the flock who would draw disciples after themselves. That's where your denominations come from. Just read 1 Corinthians. There are no denominations in the true church. It's simply sound doctrine based on the teaching of the truth of the law.
But the problem is that teaching of the truth of the Lord, nobody knows anymore, so they don't abide by it.
Well, some of us do, because we look up law. We know exactly what precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, ordinances are, and we also recognize covenant or contract law. If God says, I'm going to make a contract with this people, then that's what he means.
Aren't you ruled over, you know, as a citizen of, say, the United States or whatever, by an oppressive, some might even say slightly satanic-type government, regardless of how much strong belief and following of the scripture you have?
Well, the United States was set up by Masons in the beginning who hated Christ. I could prove to you by the writings of Washington, Jefferson, Thomas Paine, they all hated Christ. They were all under rational enlightenment. They were all carnally minded. They were not spiritual. They're all dead, and they're not in a good place today. It wasn't set up to be true and expound on the truth of the law of Christ. It was set up to be destroyed from the beginning.
But what about natural law? I mean, what do you think that has to play with all of this?
That's total crap. John Locke. That's why Colossians 2 says, let no man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's totally untrue. Let me give you an example. Israel was in Egypt for 430 years. For 400 years, they were in bondage. That means all Israelites who were born in the land of Egypt did not have a right to liberty. They were not born with a right to liberty. We don't have a right to liberty. We either have
I don't think anybody does. You don't have a right. You have to fight for it.
Well, you know, the whole world is conflict, struggle. There'll be wars, rumors of wars. Right until
I see it as kind of like, you know, how they say might is right or whatever, but your rights aren't something that are just given to you in general. You have to take them. It's like these are my rights, and you're just basically claiming that they're yours, and you have to back them up with action. So in essence, you don't actually have any rights.
Well,
backing them up, they disappear.
Yeah, but God is a God of cursing, blessing, and judgment. That's what they don't understand. He said he would curse his own people as he sought to curse the Canaanites. And what he told them, the Israelites, his people, to do is go in and destroy every one of them. Because they were not of his creation. They were mongrels. They were mixed race. A bastard will never enter into the congregation. Deuteronomy 23. See, we got a whole different... See, we don't hear God's law. Now, Christians They don't fear death. To die is gain with a Christian. The death of the body means nothing to me. I don't care. What I care is, do I believe the truth of Christ? Do I understand his law? Am I a hearer and doer of the word? That's all I care about. But it has to be taught by law. Here's how they destroyed us in 150 years. It's called dispensationalism. Mm. We're not under law. We're under faith.
There was canon law and all of that kind of stuff that was all spread around through the Vatican. But Rupert, this is kind of not an area of interest for you, really, is it, mate?
It's not an area of interest for whom?
For Rupert.
Dude, I mean, can I be honest?
Go for your life.
It's seriously boring me to tears over here, man. Like, I don't know who the caller is. He sounds very intellectual and knows what he's talking about, but it's completely irrelevant to me.
So, in other words, the truth of Christ in the Bible bores you?
Do you understand the imagery that triggers in my mind, sir?
Well, no, I can't see your mind. Imagery in your mind.
Okay, try to be a little more global, fella.
Well, what you need to do is hear the law if you want to be saved. Because
I'm fine. I really am.
I don't think you are.
Well, I didn't ask you.
And it's all about kind of when you talk about trying to save somebody or anything like that. I think people actually really have to save themselves, and they come to their own conclusions about things in general. You know, and that's how it's supposed to go. I believe is that your experiences teach you what to do, rather than just. I don't know, a deep belief in something. You can accomplish a lot with a deep belief in something, but hey, how does that belief come to you if not through your experiences telling you that what you believe is true? We'll be right back after the break.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Indigrow is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigrow lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigrow lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigrow lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigrow lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigrow not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light. That makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigrow products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigrow lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-gro.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigrow really is your sunlight in a box.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rose near $16.50 an ounce Monday on bargain hunting. Gold last traded at $16.41 an ounce, silver $31.69. What would a global currency collapse look like, asks Michael Savage of economist and author Craig Smith. And how can Americans prepare for something that's never happened before in history? According to Smith, we face an international currency collapse unless one of three things happen. Sadly, all three options appear to be extremely unlikely to occur. Why? According to Smith, good economics and good politics simply don't mix. Find out what Obama's biggest economic problem is at SwissAmerica.com. While you're there, read about why voters are cheering for the Supreme Court's challenge of Obamacare and central banks warning against bullion fraud. Call today, toll-free, 1-800-289-2646 for your free copy of The Future of Money. Brand new Savage CD, 1-800-289-2646, 800-289-2646.
You're listening to The Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the Middle Chamber of Creator X on AMR. Listen to The Paradigm Shift, Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Central.
The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
What? That's what it is. A little bit of history repeating the same things we've already seen before keep happening again, because people don't wake up and see what is going on. Have you noticed that after you wake up in the morning, you actually have to get out of bed, and after you get out of bed, you actually have to start doing something, you know, whether that be making yourself a meal or going to work or something like that? People are running around in this movement saying, we need to wake people up, we need to wake people up, as if that's the only thing you need to do. You also got to get out of bed, and you also got to get to work. You got to get to work against the New World Order, because believe me, they don't take a day off. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests are Paul Tappetti, like spaghetti, and Rupert Quaintance. Now, Rupert, I'd like you to lead us off, mate. You want to tell us a little bit of news or something?
Yes, sir. This is Rupert. I'll plug myself very briefly. I'm on YouTube as Hi, It's Rupert. I have a vlog that I do, and I really appreciate the opportunity to pitch my next vlog, which is, it's about something going on in Tibet. And I know people are tired of hearing about Tibet. I've done several interviews about this to just, nobody seems to care. I'm begging everyone to care. China has come out about this particular issue and said, any country that's looking to invade because of this issue, back off. There's no issue. And they have issued a very American-style statement about this. But what I'm about to tell you about is very serious. It's very real. And it was brought to my attention by a member of my community where I live. And he's watching the news on this, as am I. And no one else is. All the truthers out there, if you want to call yourself a truther, all the people on my Facebook page posting posts all day long. People post posts all day long. I want to see a few about this come across my news feed. There are individuals in Tibet and also in China, also in India, also in Korea, that are self-immolating. And if you don't know what that means they are setting themselves on fire. In America, if Americans get very upset about something, 9 times out of 10, they'll go get an AR-15, go to work, and mow people down, just to let everybody know how upset they are. But these Tibetans, they won't do that. What they do is they set themselves on fire. And in my next vlog, you will actually see people on fire. It is one of the most horrific, horrible things I've ever seen in my life. And what I would like for everyone to do is to find out about the self-immolations going on in Tibet. It is regarding the occupation by China there. Over the years, I've done a lot of research regarding Tibet and China and the relationship between the two. My biggest question is, how hard is it to pick on people who are very peaceful? Not very hard. So these people are being murdered. And the only way that they feel like they can express to the world, and some of them have even gone as far as, from what I can tell, they've learned one phrase in English: stop killing Tibet. And it's you'll see it in my video. There's a man, he sets himself on fire, and a crowd of people put him out, and military people put this other guy out. And he's screaming the whole time into the camera that's on him to pay attention, to please pay attention to what's going on. These people are setting themselves on fire. And you can choose to say, oh, well, it's a Tibet issue, or it's no. China is, as we know, the model for the New World Order. They have a one-child policy, they kill their citizens, and they are very ruthless. We need to pay attention to what's going on with these people. It is so dear to their hearts that these people who are on fire, they're not making a sound. I don't know about you, but, I've burned myself before. I yell. These people have their whole entire bodies on fire, and they're not saying anything. I think it's very important that we all pay attention to this as much as we paid attention to the Kony thing, as much as we paid attention to the 9/11 thing. And, Vinny, I hope you agree.
Yeah, I do. I do, man. I reckon the U.S. government should get involved with the clandestine services and start up Tibet Contra and ship the guns in and then ship the drugs out.
And
maybe that might be a little bit risque for foreign policy purposes, but I'm sure Obama will do it. we'll see what we've got. We've got a different caller here now. Area code 847. What do you think about this Tibet situation?
Well, I think it's tragic. This is Mojo.
Mojo calling from what state?
Illinois, the land of noise. Or what we would commonly call, really, it's the land of criminals, because we got the most governors in prison here. But I think that that situation... Well, we've had, with Blagojevich being the last, we've had three governors go to jail.
Whoa.
Over the course of 20 years, or 30 years.
So I guess the other guys were just as big a bunch of criminals. They just didn't get caught.
Correct. That's correct.
I love American politics.
Yeah.
For everywhere, you know. What's his name? China may be the model for the New World Order, but the corruption in U.S. politics is the model for the world.
Absolutely. I think we far exceed the entire world as far as corruption.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I think the situation with Tibet is just, I think it's the beginning of the tipping of the iceberg. I think that we have a situation here where we're fast approaching a spiritual precipice where we're coming to the tipping point where people are awakening and starting to see all the corruption and greed and murder in the world, and they want to stop. And I listened to the other gentleman just prior to the guy calling about the Tibet situation, and I don't have a problem with religious people per se or religion per se, but I think that with religion, you have to be very open-minded now and pay attention to what really is going on in the world and not be so hung up on the religious or the de facto law of religion versus what we would call the de jure law of religion or spirituality and looking at the spirit of the law. And I think that's what Christ really wanted to teach, was that we should look at our laws and live our lives in the spirit of how it's, of how it should be lived according to the laws of the Creator. And not by
words
that are in a book.
In other words, Jesus taught to stop pushing your religion on people.
Correct. Yeah, because it doesn't really matter what's written down in the book. It's how you treat people and how you treat each other and how you treat the world in general that really matters. And I think that people are waking up to that, but it's slow. I would like to see it a lot faster. And I noticed that the people that are in the 60-plus age group are the slowest to awaken. It's like you got to hit them in the head with a sledgehammer to really get them to understand what's really going on. But the younger generation, I think they're fully awake to what's going on, and I think they're more receptive to all the changes that are taking place. But I'm really concerned about the older generation, and I really like to see this awakening happen a lot faster.
Well, you know what? I think there's been a separation, and I think people should agree with me on this, because I think it's pretty self-evident that there's been a great separation of the elder generations from the younger generations. You know, young people aren't living with their grandparents anymore as it was way back in the day, and I don't think we really are familiar with the past as it was lived and what people were able to do so many years ago that we can't do now. Speeding tickets, checkpoints, and all of this other eclectic scumbaggery that we all want to deal with. They didn't have to deal with that back then. And so now, I think what the younger generation is missing out on that they should be most exposed to is the past. And the elder generation are missing out on something that they really need to be exposed to is the present. Yeah. And that's why the youth and the elders work so well together, because they both bring each other up, rather than the youth saying, oh, you old people, you just don't get it because you don't have iPhones, and the old people are saying, you kids, you're just distracted by iPhones.
I call it the old school. It's the old school, and it's called the old school. Like, I was raised by really old school people, and one of the things where I find a huge problem is with the relationships between the young people. They're very overly sexual, and I personally will jack you up against a wall if you try to touch my girlfriend, which has happened. And it's just kind of, the old school is dying. The old school doctors are all gone. The old school mentality of dealing with things is almost completely dead. Once the people who were born in the 40s are gone, that's it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Baby boomer's going to go bye-bye. And that's where all the moral ethic really came from and got destroyed from. Now, don't you think that it was once the 50s and the 60s and the big boom times and all of that kind of stuff, that's when the moral ethic of the nations of the world just started to go into a very slow, shadowy decline? Because before that, there was the Depression and the World War. So it was incredibly serious times where everybody had to sacrifice an awful lot. And after that, the subsequent generations had, in a nutshell, had everything handed to them by comparison with little struggle.
That generation was so fearful that their children would go through a Great Depression that they wanted to protect them from that. And what they ended up with was a bunch of spoiled brats who begat spoiled brats who are now begatting spoiled brats.
What's your take on that, Paul?
We're breeding entitlement brats, man.
I'd like to see the power go out for about a week.
Yeah.
It'd be chaos. No, it'd be pandemonium. It would be chaos and pandemonium if the power went out for a week. This is one of the things that deeply concerned me if martial law or something like that was ever imposed, because I said it would be the 20-somethings that would not be able to cope and not realize that they would have to work together in a cooperative. At least not immediately.
I think they would learn to cope. I think in about 3 days, people would realize that the internet's not coming back on, and we're going to have to start dealing with actual people in our actual communities and reconnect with people. At least that would be my hope.
Every time there's a major disaster in every single zone, huge quantities of people start coming together. When the Christchurch quake happened here in New Zealand, communities who have basically virtually don't know each other, never seen each other, were all of a sudden checking everybody's houses, making sure the old people were warm, that they had enough food, that they had access to toiletries and soap and water and all of that kind of stuff. The communities instantly, not, it didn't take a week, it didn't take a day, it happened instantaneously. They all suffered that collective shock, and it brought them together. That's what happens in crises. People always bring themselves together and problem solve as a group because their lives depend on it.
Do you remember?
Well, I got news for you here. I got news for you, though. The flower of humanity here in America is dandelions when it comes to crises. We got people that will trample each other for $200 gym shoes in a shopping mall on Christmas. I think that we would have some shaking out to do prior to people really coming together, especially the younger generation, because they don't know how to cope. They haven't been given the tools to cope. They've been given everything.
Do you guys remember the reports that came out of New York on 9/12/01 and 9/13/01? What had actually happened to the city of New York was they became spontaneously empathetic to one another, whereas before they prided themselves on their separatism with each other and how big of a jerk they were collectively as a city. I mean, it was, they prided themselves on being rude to people. And then in the days just after 9/11, there were reports of people actually approaching people who were crying in the subway and making sure they're okay and all that kind of thing. It's weird how disasters bring themselves to people who need to have that reconnection to one another.
Yeah. And like I say, that's how it goes. Every single time there's a disaster of any kind, people come together. Now, the problem is, it's not the ground level where people come together that's the scary part. The scary part is what they will all be willing and prepared to accept to have things go back to the way they were, and who's going to be offering those solutions, who's going to be financing the campaigns for those solutions to get ahead. Those are the things that we really should be concerned about, but in general, we aren't. We're just concerned about those other people around us who are close to us, who we care about, who we want to help simply because we can, simply because we're there, because we're good, decent human beings on the whole. And that's something that I think a lot of truthers forget, is that despite the fact that there's plenty of stupid people out there, most of them are still good people. There's plenty of good stupid people, as long as there's good smart people, as long as there's real scumbaggery stupid people and scumbaggery smart people. You know, there's a spectrum, except the scumbaggery is a very, very small thing. They're the icing on the cake. We're the cake. We're the ones that build it all up and provide something for that icing to even sit on. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Sean David Morton here to tell all of my fantastic fans and friends about one of the greatest conference gatherings of all time of your favorite New Age, New Thought, and radio personalities. The Alchemy event, starting at 8:30 a.m., April 28th to Sunday, April 29th. Come to the Alchemy event in West Los Angeles. Or if you can't join us all in person, you can have the fantastic opportunity to watch it on Global Stream Live online for a celebration of global peace and transformation, ET disclosure, prophecy, earth changes, ufology, metaphysics, consciousness, healing, and meditation. Join me for lunch with special guests, Coast to Coast George Nori, Project Camelot's Kerry Cassidy, Dr. Roger Lear, Michael Hercules Barra, Saeed David Farman, Dr. Louis Tari, Sudi Burnett, and many, many more. Tickets on sale now. Register online at alchemyevent.com or click on AFR's homepage. That's alchemyevent.com. The Alchemy event in Los Angeles, California, April 28th and 29th. Don't you dare miss it. See you there.
Witnesses, first responders, and others tell the story the NTSB and the FBI hope to cover up. The documentary film, Wellstone, They Killed Him, examines the killer's motives, means, and opportunity. Who was Senator Paul Wellstone, and why would anyone want to kill him? High on the motive list is that the populist Minnesota senator, one of 23 who voted against the Iraq War in 2002, was sticking his nose into 9/11. Wellstone intimates say he was asking too many questions, that he wanted to get to the bottom of what really happened on 9/11, and thus was publicly executed as a warning. Watch the preview at WellstoneTheyKilledHim.com. A portion of the sales goes to fund a public investigation. Order a DVD for just $20. Help support our future projects. We document what the corporate and quote-unquote left media ignore. Chemtrails, weaponized mycoplasma, the IVAW, Bilderbergs, cyanine, and the neo-Malthusian depopulation assault on humanity. Visit SnowshoeFilms.com or go to AFR's homepage and click the Snowshoe Films banner.
Who is Ron Paul? He's a veteran who's passionate about bringing our troops home from Iraq and is for a humble foreign policy. Congressman Paul is committed to securing America's borders. He's dedicated to lowering taxes and less federal spending. Ron Paul is for personal freedoms and is guided by the Constitution. Ron Paul is hope for America.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Is this dude serious? Fiscal conservative? Really? Santorum voted to raise the debt ceiling 5 times, doubled the size of the Department of Education, then supported the biggest entitlement expansion since the 60s. Not groovy. Santorum voted to send billions of our tax dollars to dictators in North Korea and Egypt, and even hooked Planned Parenthood up with a few million bucks. Rick Santorum, a fiscal conservative? Fake.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man, expand the military industrial complex. Annex foreign soil with chemical objects. Vex the psyop attacking your conscience. Next, your brain agrees with the offense. Political correctness, people are afraid to speak what they feel instead of what they made. I don't see black and white, I see a reason to debate. Cause right about
welcome
now,
back.
A lot of lands are betrayed. A slave.
Welcome back to the show that's not about the black and white, it's about the gray. Unless, of course, we're talking about Freemasonic Sonic tiling. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We give people, it's the radio show where we give people the Masonic plot to talk about whatever they want to, basically. It's all about enlightenment and wisdom and whatever. Now, coming to think about it, conflict resolution, infighting. This is something that I think a lot of people need to know quite a lot more about, you know, dealing with other people and that kind of thing. And can be really difficult. I feel I'm kind of a bit of a protean, so I can, it means sort of a social shapeshifter. So it doesn't matter what kind of person I'm with, I'm still me. But I'm the kind of me that they'll appreciate just a little bit more by figuring out what it is they're into, how they react to things, and sort of adjusting myself accordingly. You know, some people call that manners. I just call doing it on the fly. And, you know, some cases you do offend people, and you have to apologize straight out and just go, okay. Okay, I'm very sorry, you know, because sometimes you can offend people without even trying. And they can get very, very upset, and that's the kind of thing that you do have to try and avoid, and sort of shut down as quickly as possible. And usually, the best key to that, in a lot of cases, is a bit of humility. As in, have you ever been in an argument with your girlfriend, and you know the only two words she wants you to say, "Yes, dear"? It's the two most important words in a man's vocabulary in any relationship. Yes, dear. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, doing what you're told sometimes can be a very beneficial thing, because it means that you don't have all these other things that they'll do to you if you don't do what they want you to do right now. But I think that's just relationships in general. And in the truth movement, because we have so many people who work very hard and their work is very personal to them, like my girlfriend once told me that she says that my work's not real work one time, and it enraged me to no end. You know, this is the kind of thing that we talk about here. We become emotionally invested in our ideas to a degree, and as a result, because we work so hard on it, we sometimes lash out against others, and there's a lot of people that start fighting amidst the truth movement. Don't you think, guys? Rupert, what do you think?
Dude, I've definitely gotten in my fair share of arguments, and I don't ever mean to, and usually it comes from a good place.
And Paul?
I don't know what happened there, man. Look, man, my band and I preach, man, is the 80% solution. We don't give a shit what color, excuse me, we don't care what color you are or anything. If you want me to see you colorblind, start acting like an American without a hyphen. Agree on the 80% that we're all getting screwed by the same entity because they're dividing us on a 0 to 20%. And that 0 to 20% is really marginal compared to how much we are getting screwed. All right, so let bygones be bygones on a personal end. And move on, because there's a bigger 800-pound gorilla that we need to, like, smack upside the head, because right now he's smashed up the room and nobody's, you know, talking about it.
You know, I've got an old saying, that on the points we agree, we should come together and collaborate. On the points that we disagree, let's leave that conversation for another time. Perhaps a time when we're not about to be exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery.
I can't believe this made it on the air.
You'll be surprised what makes it on air on the show, bro.
I didn't mean it.
well, you know, real issues, okay? Real issues as you're experiencing them, as you're going through them, they're the most important to you. And at the time that they're happening, that's the time when you can learn the most from them. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but learning how to figure out stuff in the moment and learning lessons right then, it's kind of like a dog, you know, pees on your carpet or something like that. You don't rub his nose in it half an hour later. You do it right instantaneously. You know, and I think it's, we were talking about this earlier, Paul, trauma. You know, through the issues of conflict and stuff like that, that's how we learn things the best. That's how we.
Do you remember
up.
When you had to rub my nose in the carpet?
No, I try not to rub people's nose in the carpet, because I think it kind of implies that I'm sort of like your owner or you're my pet or something. I mean, Rupert, nothing against you. I think you'd make a nice pet, but. But I'm not sure if I can handle the responsibility.
Well, conflict resolution is something I think everyone needs to learn, and I think I myself probably need to cause less conflict.
Well, you know, and especially if you inadvertently cause it, you need to figure out a way to inadvertently just shut it down, like whoosh. And I became really, really good at this way back in the day. I'm terrible with my own problems with people because it's usually the only person who's got a problem with me is somebody who's completely irrational and prone to douchebaggery. Whereas if people just in general have a problem with me and they're nice, cool people or whatever, and they can be reasoned with, then I can usually smooth out pretty much any situation between other people. It doesn't matter how big a anger stoush they're in or whatever. I bring people together. I'm kind of like marijuana in that sense. But I suppose...
Vinny, I gotta say, Vinny, even though I disagree with many, many people, I still consider them worthwhile. And I know you do too. Like, people are worthwhile. People's central nervous systems are amazing. Like, their perception of the world and how it is relayed to them, it's amazing. Like, how can you really have a serious long-term grudge against anybody?
Well, for me, I actually do carry grudges for a very long time. I still carry many of me from my students' days. I got messed around ages there, still got grudges against old bosses. I don't know how to let them go is the thing. Every single grudge I've ever had, I've still carry with me. But I still keep going about my life, knowing for a fact that if I were to actually expend energy trying to get something back from those grudges, I'd only be wasting my energy.
And you're making me rethink many of my own little grudges.
How much time, energy, and effort does it take to build something great?
Right, but how fantastic is it to imagine, and I'm not trying to be risque or anything, but we all do it, how fun is it to kill someone in your mind?
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun.
But to actually do it, imagine how much energy you'd have to expend and imagine what consequence you'd ever have. So I think in many ways, when you're in personal conflict with somebody, unless the altercation gets violent, like actually they're going to be hurting you and killing you or whatever, all of those things that you don't like about them usually get reserved into your mind, and often people won't say them. And if they do say them, then something can erupt really, really badly. And you never know how bad things can get. It might even turn violent after that. Which is why I think a lot of people bite their tongues about a lot of things. It's because they don't want things to happen. The problem is that they've started to differentiate that behavior and apply it to, say, the people who do need to be called up on their actions, like the government officials, Zionists, the big pharma pushers, and all of these scumbags that basically serve the most important realms of the New World Order pyramid with the intelligence agencies and whatnot. Those are the people who can be rudely ambushed justifiably. Whereas if you're talking to another truther, on the other hand... It's often a much better idea to bite your tongue.
I feel like I just came to a realization, Vinny. I feel like we are fighting hordes of people with lots of money with our opinions, and I suddenly feel tiny.
Well, you'd be surprised how much pain and anguish one tiny thing can cause. You ever been trapped in a room with a mosquito?
Especially if you're trying to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the most annoying sound ever.
I actually have this funny little toy. You flick it on, and if the lights are off, then it makes this mosquito noise, and if the lights come on, it stops. So you have no idea where it is.
That is so
it's really cool.
That must have been created by the Zionists. That is such an evil thing. All right, well, thank you, Paul. To Patty, have you got a website there, mate?
Yeah, brother, for any of the protest rebel rock music that's going to be the soundtrack for the Second American Revolution, you can go to pokerface.com, one word. We do answer all email and telephone calls, so give us a shout. We'll reply back.
Cool. And Roops?
Yo, thank you for the opportunity to do so. I am Rupert from YouTube's Hi, It's Rupert. You can find me at youtube.com/kivresp, KIVRESP.
All right, and I think that's a really good show we've had today, guys. Like, really good. It's a, well, we had some listeners and what have you, but I think there were quite parts of it that were just like pure gold and magic. And it just goes to show you, if you have one great mind in a radio room or something like that, it's pretty awesome. You have another great mind in there, you have another. And it starts to become somewhat fabulous. So thank you, guys. And thank you to the callers as well and the listeners. And also yesterday I asked for $10 to the listeners and somebody gave me $35 so I can get the bills paid this week. Thank you very much for your donations, ladies and gentlemen. You are the thing that makes this run. And I'm just sitting here holding it steady. We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.